Our scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from one of Jesus' parables from Luke chapter 15, verse 10. I say to you, there is more rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There are people who want to reduce your existence down to nothing but matter, to just molecules and atoms, the very things that make up your desk and your pillow and your coffee mug. And despite that, inside of people there is generally a refusal to accept this way of looking at yourself. There's a refusal to be seen merely as molecules and atoms. Dr. Francis Schaeffer once wrote, "No person likes to think of himself as just a bunch of atoms or chemical ingredients that have come together only by chance." You're more than that. You're not just to be equated with a coffee mug. There's something more to you than that. There's a spiritual aspect to who you are. There's a soul, there's a conscience, there's a mind that can't be just touched like things that are made out of material. And there's an unseen world, then, that we are part of inside of us with this spiritual aspect of who we are. There is an unseen world that is not recognized by the eye. And the fact that something is invisible doesn't mean that it's not real or doesn't exist. The wind, justice, love, hatred, none of these can be found with a microscope. And yet they're all very real, and they do exist. St. Paul wrote to the Ephesian congregation, he said, "Our struggle is against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That's the struggle that humanity is engaged in with this evil that's out there in the world. There is more than just matter in this world. And it's crucial for us, it's important for us to recognize the reality of this invisible spiritual world that is out there. To go through life without acknowledging it can be very dangerous. To go through life denying the existence of evil, denying the existence of this spiritual realm, the invisible forces that are at play in the world, trying to harm us and attack us. The devil loves it when we forget that he exists. Your enemy will always love it when you ignore him. And that is true in this case as well. Now, in this same spiritual realm, God has created special creatures and beings for our benefit and for our good. The guardian angels that he uses and that are there at his beck and call to work for us and protect us and to guide us on our journey to heaven. And these are special creatures with a very special purpose designed by him to protect you and me, the top gem in God's creation. And they are themselves never to become the worship of our object. St. John, when he was given a tour of heaven at one point, comes before one of the angels and drops before him to begin praying to him. And the angel says, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant. Worship God." So the angels are not to become the objects of our attention for our worship and our adoration in that way. And yet God uses them in his kingdom and in the work of his kingdom for our benefit and for our good. And they have been established to assist God's own Son in the work of coming down into this world and entering human history through the form of Jesus Christ in order to save us. They are always around that work and trying to assist in that work of our salvation. A beautiful example of this is the story when Jesus goes out after establishing the Lord's Supper with his disciples on what we call Maundy Thursday. And that night he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, to get ready for his capture and then being put on the cross the next morning. But as he's praying in the garden, we're told that an angel was sent to him. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. God the Father sent a particular angel down to get him ready for this all-important work of having to go and pay for your sins and mine by shedding his blood on the cross. But then all of a sudden, as Christ is taken into custody, and as he is put on trial and whipped and beaten and finally hung on a cross to die, the angels, God the Father, pulls his angels away. He backs them away from the picture so that there is no protection for his son. And the son is completely, completely abandoned from the service and help of the angels and God himself. And he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you pulled all of your angels away from me? Why have you withdrawn from me? Well, the reason he did it is this. Your sin and mine needed to be punished that severely. And God did not want to pull his angels entirely away from you. God did not want to let the forces of evil have their way with you and completely destroy you. So he chose instead to pull his angels away from his own son and let him feel the abandonment and being forsaken so you would never have to know what it's like in your future to have the angels removed from you. Now, these angels also love to observe the work of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. We're told in our text, the words of Jesus, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents. Boy, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world right now and in the news today, hearings going on in Washington and earthquakes and sporting events, a lot of stuff that demands the attention of the world all over the place. But what is heaven paying attention to? Heaven is paying attention to what's going on down inside of individual people's hearts when they recognize their guilt before God and they realize they need a Savior and God comes and comforts them with his forgiveness and mercy in Christ. This is what causes heaven to rejoice. That's why angels are so thrilled about repentance when it takes place inside of your heart. Because that's where heaven touches you. The most personally, that's where God the Holy Spirit grabs you with the work of his Son, who's paid for every one of your sins, and applies it directly down into you through his word and sacraments. When that takes place, this is the work of heaven. You can't see it. It's going on inside of our hearts. When faith grabs onto Jesus Christ and says, he died for me, I get to go to heaven, that's what causes the angels in heaven to rejoice. When I was a little boy in grade school, our teacher assigned us pen pals. You guys will probably never know what that is because you're on the internet and you can Skype with anybody you want. But back before all that, you would actually write these things called letters. And I had a pen pal that was in another country. And he lived in probably what we'd consider a third world country. I'd like you to use your imagination. Imagine a boy who's 12 years old that lives in Austria. In a big, beautiful mansion, extremely wealthy home that he lives in. And he now has a pen pal in a third world country who's never known what it's like to live like that. And he's tried to describe it to him, and he writes to this boy back and forth. And finally, his parents have worked it out to be able to bring that friend, his pen pal, to actually come to their home and stay with them for a while. And in addition to that, this boy writing from Austria happens to belong to the Vienna Boys Choir. And he has worked it out so that the entire choir is going to come to their mansion and sing for this young man who's coming to their house. You think he'd be excited about that? The angel that has been responsible for you in your life as a Christian is waiting in heaven for you to get to come and see what his home is like, his eternal home, and to see what it's like to live there. And he and his choir cannot wait to sing for you. Heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. Thanks be to God. Amen.